Psalm 146, we don't have an author that this psalm is attributed to, but whomever it was got it right. Psalm 146, verses 3 through 6, it says, "Do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man," and that just means simply a person, "nor in a son of man in whom there is no help. His spirit departs. He returns to his earth, and that very day his plans perish. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever." We'll bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, we are grateful, Lord, that we can find our joy in you. Father, the joy that you give is indeed our strength, and it is that strength that we can move forward in despite anything we might encounter, anything that we might endure. Father, we can find strength in joy unspeakable and full of glory that comes from your hand and your doing. Help us to lay hold of that daily, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Saints, yesterday was, I found out, the International Day of Happiness. I don't know if you all celebrated it or observed it. Whatever the case may be, on the International Day of Happiness, they release what is called the Annual World Happiness Report. I think I might have addressed something along these lines a few years ago in another lesson, I'm not sure, but essentially what the World Happiness Report is, I found, is that it's essentially a global Gallup poll. There are a couple of other organizations who get involved in it, but they go and they conduct a poll across, I believe, 135 different nations. The United Nations gets involved, so there's some measure of authority behind it. But they do this poll, and they use these bunch of metrics and questions and all of these things to gauge, literally, the measure of happiness that... Anyone read this article? Or an article related to it? The measure of happiness each nation and its... Well, its citizens have and enjoy. The United States finished 24th amongst 135, down from 23rd last year, up from other years past. I'm not sure exactly. I didn't look too deeply into it. If you're interested, first through fourth were all Nordic countries. Finland finished number one. Those happy Finns, you know. Denmark, Iceland, and Sweden, I believe, were second, third, and fourth, respectively. But happiness up there. Now, what I found interesting was, I thought to myself as I was reading this article, how did they gauge the happiness? How did they gauge this? And what were the metrics that they used? And how did they determine this? Other than just based on what the people said. And one of the things that was really the key factor, and this is kind of a long introduction, but it's pertinent. One of the key metrics that they used was this, and it was called, well, I kind of named it to myself, the returned wallet data. And what they looked at was, number one, how many people who had lost wallets over the course of the last year, wallets or purses, had those returned to them. And then they put that into an algorithm based on how many people, whether they'd lost wallets or not, expected that their surrounding people, their fellow citizens, would return a lost wallet to them. And so they collate all that data and they aggregate it and they come up with this metric, and it was based on the returned wallet predominantly. What people had experienced as far as from their respective communities and what they expected and how those things combined and contrasted and the like. And so what we found was, if it's interesting to you, the United States had many, many more wallets returned than was expected by their respective citizens. We didn't expect much from our citizens, evidently. They knew how to collate that data again, and they found that, well, we're 24th, and there are a lot of returned wallets and a lot of expected returned wallets up in Finland, I suppose. Regardless, they determined that. And the countries with the lowest expectations of a returned wallet were the least happy countries. India was the last country in happiness, for whatever that's worth. Now, what they found ultimately was that the happiness of an individual is very much dependent on the community surrounding them, whether it's their family, their respective neighborhoods, their respective cities, their respective country, their community, beginning inside and working their way out. The happiness of an individual is very much dependent on the actions of another person or persons. Now, our text says, obviously, well, I trust you know where I'm going, and you know what, you'll agree with me when I say this, that our text says something else. We're not talking merely about happiness. I totally understand, and I'm not just going to sit and kibosh everything that comes out that says happiness needs to be found in this worldly thing or this natural thing, because I know they're talking about just simple natural happiness. But our happiness has to be tied into that joy unspeakable and full of glory that can only be found in the Lord, we understand. Do not put your trust in princes, it says. Just this passage here. Nor in a person, nor in a son of man in whom there is no help. Trust means confidence. It means a dependence. Do not put your faith in princes. Essentially, I could say it, don't trust anyone from the highest of regality all the way down to the basest of men. Don't place your dependence upon them for anything. Well, your dependence, and that includes happiness. Don't depend on another one, on any other individual or individuals to find your joy. I believe this very much includes that. How come? Well, because people aren't perfect, for one. We understand that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In me that is in my flesh, there dwells no good thing. And the flesh can rear its ugly head, we understand, at any time. I can say with all earnesty, I never wanted Allie to need me, my wife. I always wanted her, obviously, to want to be with me, but I didn't want her, and I don't want her dependent on me for her joy, for her faith, for her strength, or anything else that she has true need of. Because I'm a man, and, well, I don't want her to be dependent on me, that the removal of me in death, in failure, in whatever the case might be, the removal of that would somehow devastate her eternally. I can't have that. I don't have any interest in her dependence on me. A relationship is encouraged, or is intended to encourage, to enhance things, to edify one another, not to provide for needs. That would be a misguided emotion, and I don't want her or anyone else to have it. Whom have I in heaven but you? Asaph said in Psalm 73. There's none on earth that I desire besides you. There is no one else that I need. And I think that that's quite plain. Again, there's none righteous, no, not one. And there's natural failure, certainly. But in verse 4, the psalmist here goes on to talk about something just very much more practical, outside of mere spiritual failure or something along those lines, that you can't depend on the flesh. It says his spirit departs. This is why you can't depend on a person, because he's going to die. He returns to his earth. In that very day, his plans perish. People are mortal. It doesn't matter what intentions I have to care for my wife, my kids, our assembly, in whatever role we play. You might have the greatest of intentions to always be there for them and always be that one that they can depend on. As soon as you go home to be with the Lord, that role is gone for you. That plans perish. Instant. It's a done deal. Don't depend on this guy. Don't depend on your parents. They're not always going to be there. It simply is what it is. People are mortal. Even the best of intentions only last so long as this breath does, should the Lord tarry. Because all flesh is grass, Peter says in 1 Peter 1. I probably should wait a few more weeks before we get to this in our Wednesday night study, but all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flower falls away. A lot of applications for that passage, but one of them simply is, this life is a vapor. It can be as great, it can be as grand, it can do as many great things, and testimony notwithstanding, that's going to last. A good testimony will last even after one dies, but all of the intentions for the future, you can't depend on those things, because once that person is gone, they're no longer dependable. What can anyone do if all their happiness, or if their happiness is dependent on this person? What can anyone do if that person is removed? My happiness is dependent on their presence, on their involvement, on their relationship with me. If it's removed, my happiness, my joy goes with them, and that simply can't be so. We mourn, certainly, but we do not want to be dependent upon that. Once they're gone, once they're removed from my life, however the Lord determines to remove them, or however they determine to be removed from my life, sometimes the Lord wouldn't have that to be so. Well, they can't return my wallet anymore, can they? They can't do those things that would bring me joy. So even if simply based on that practicality, man cannot, must not be depended upon for our joy, for our strength, for our endurance, for our just about anything. As Peter said, what he said just a moment ago, the word of the Lord endures forever in verse 25. The word of the Lord endures, not my flesh and not anyone else's. And so it is that the psalmist says, happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, regardless of anyone else's involvement. Joyful is the one who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord. David says a couple of psalms before, he says, happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Psalm 144 and verse 15. How come? Because God has no weakness. God is not mortal. He is immortal. God has our best intentions, our good in his mind. He's not limited by flesh. He's not limited by sin. He's not limited by mortality. He's not limited by bitterness. He's not limited by scorn for his people. He loves us. As our psalm goes on, who made the heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever. He's all powerful. And on top of that, he's interested in you. He loves you. He only wants your good. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself, 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 16, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself, the Son of God himself, and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation, everlasting comfort, everlasting strength, everlasting encouragement, and good hope by grace, by nothing of our merit, by only because of his love for us, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. That means he has good work planned for you. He has good works laid out for you. He has the best of things laid out for you. He has those plans. He has the capability of seeing those plans through for you, and furthermore, he wants to, because he loves you. Saints, we can trust him far more than we can trust anyone else. Our dearest of friends, our closest of spouses, our closest of relationships, we can trust him to be able to do more than anyone else can, and to want to do more than anyone else does. And we have some close natural relationships. We do. And yet his is so much further, so much deeper, so much truer. Saints, that should bring true joy to you. True joy. More than just happiness. True, godly, eternal joy. He might choose to enrich us with things. He might choose to enrich our lives and edify us and encourage us and even enhance us spiritually with relationships. But our joy is not dependent on those things. It's not dependent upon the actions of anybody else, because actions can fail. People can fail. God does not fail. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord, his God. We sing that chorus. We didn't this evening, but it goes, happiness is to know the Savior, so on and so forth. But real joy is mine, it says. No matter if teardrops start, I've found the secret. It's Jesus in my heart. Happiness is found. Joy is found, regardless of ranking on the international lists, regardless of how we feel and compare to everybody else in the world happiness report. Real joy is found in the Almighty God in a relationship with him. Trust him for it, and him only.